Okay, we're going to start today with, let me, what we want to do. Start with the outline of the book. The first three, four shiurim we've done, basically with section A. The 21st, 24 chapters of the book, because that's really the main part of Sefer Yechezkel. And we went year by year and we gave the background. This week we're going to talk a little bit about the Reduka of the other nations. It's going to be a big chunk of the book, chapter 25 through 35, just to appreciate why it's there. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Nevuot of Nechama, why they're there, and the Pirkei Mikdash at the end. The first part of the show, though, we're going to answer Paul's question from last week about what was the reason for the Churban Bayit Rishon, based on the famous dictum of Chazal in the Gemara Yom Medastet, about what was the cause for the difference between the first place of Mikdash and the second. Just before we start, the first source in part two is what we didn't finish last week, is the end of the first of the 24 chapters. In chapter 24, which we didn't get to last week, which we should have, then it's a famous Nevuah, which you shall be familiar with. It's Nevuah Yechezkel on Asar B'Tevet. It's the 10th day, the 10th month. It's the 9th year, a year and a half before the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. And again, in our show, we explained why year 5, 6, and 7 are critical to what's going on, because that's the year they expected the Beit HaMikdash, the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash to return, for Bezel to fall in the exile to return, and it's giving the opposite message of all the false prophets. That was a big topic we followed for several shiurim. After those hopes fall through and doesn't happen, 2 years later, in the 9th year, Yechezkel says it's all over. Nothing else to hope for. It's, the siege is beginning, and that's basically Perach Avdalad, and he writes down exactly that day, and the reason why Yechezkel writes down the day of Asar B'Teveda, so that when the news comes back, we'll read at the very end in Pasuk Chavchet, "V'ata ben Adam halo dom kachti behem et muzam esos tifatam," on the day that I take away the Beit HaMikdash from them, at Machmad Enehem, the place that they're looking for, at Masan Afsham, when I take away the place they're putting all their hopes in the Beit HaMikdash, "V'yemahu yivo apalit erecha," Pasuk Chavav, on that day, the refugee from Yerushalayim is going to come to Babel, Lashmat is 9, to let you know what happened. The Yamahu, when the refugee comes and tells everybody what happened and what date it happened and how it happened, just like you predicted, the refugee will enable you to open, he won't open your mouth physically, but he'll enable you to begin speaking, because now you're proven right, but to the better then you can speak. You won't have to be quiet anymore. You'll be the sign that I told you what's going to happen, and hopefully from then on, you'll have their trust and you'll have their credibility, and then they'll listen to you and the other messages give them about the future and how they're the future of the people of Israel. Now, that closed up that section. Before we continue, the first 24 chapters pretty much Yechezkel was talking about what was the reason for the Churban. And what Paul asked for, everyone's familiar with the famous Gemara in Yoma, maybe they know that was, they know that's where it was from, where they're comparing the first temple to the second temple. And they say that the first temple was destroyed for three reasons, for the three big sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arot, Shvichud Damim, called the big three. With the second temple, they were all tzaddikim, but the Churban was for what's called Sinat Achim. And people quote that all the time, pretty much is pretty standard. And what I was trying to show you is that in the end of Bayit Rishon, the people aren't that, we don't see that much Avodah Zarah, we don't see that much, they're not that bad. And we do see Sinat Achim. And we see a lack of, definitely we see not caring for the poor and the needy. So we're trying to understand what's going on. So to answer that question and tie it together with what we're learning in Yechezkel, I quoted the Gemara in Yoma, and that's in section 3, on page 2 of your source sheet. And we'll begin with, I laid it out so it's easier to read. If you want to ask the question, Bigdash Rishon Bidmei Macharav, then it says as follows. Avodah Zarah, Gilarot, Shvichud Damim. Avodah Zarah, they bring a pasuk from Yishayel. Gilarot, they brought a pasuk from Yishayel. Shvichud Damim, they bring a pasuk from Machin Bet about Menashe, which we're going to see soon. And they prove them. We didn't bring all the proofs to save us some time. Avodah Mikdash Sheni, Shayu, Askim, Betorah, Bitzvot, Gmilot, Chasadid, Bidmein, Macharav. Bai Sheni, they were so from, they were following Mitzvot, etc. They were doing all these things. And Bidmei Shaita, Bo Sinat Achim. So Sinat Chinam. So we learn from there that Sinat Achim is worse than all the big three. Every darshan, every rabbi uses this left and right. Now, well, let me ask you guys a question since we have interactive here. Okay. All the sources that were quoted, why was the first Beis Hamikdash destroyed? What time period are they from? Look at the sources. Where are they from? Hopefully you know your... Anyone want to give it a try? Are they from the time of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel? Did he quote Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel at the Gemara? What time period is Yeshua quoting? Which name and which king? You can try chat, you can try and talking. Again, look at the Gemara there. First of all, yeah? It's way before Yirmiyahu. For sure before you, but who is the Navi who's quoting twice? The quoting, I mean, you see that the quoting Yishayahu. When was Yishayahu living in contrast to Yirmiyahu? Anyone know how many years before Yirmiyahu, which kings did Yishayahu give his Nebu under? Yeah, Yishayahu was almost 100 years beforehand. Yishayahu was during Uziyahu Yotam HaChatzitz Kiel. According to Chazal, Menashe killed him, had him put to death. Right. But Menashe is 80 some years before the Korban. So Yishayahu was living a good generation or two before the Korban. Right. And the Pasuk, the Koy of Shichut Damim from Elachim Bet Terachavah, that's at the time of Menashe. We're going to see soon, in fact, that's the next source on, maybe we should skip to that before we continue. Look at page 3, where I'm quoting from Elachim Bet Terachavah. And it talks about the reign of Menashe. And Menashe dies about 67 years before the Korban. It says Menashe was 12 years, he was king for 55 years. And but they said he did bad. Am Yisrael, at the time of Menashe, was doing worse than the nations that got kicked out. And what the Nedim are saying is that if you're acting no better than the Canaanites that I kicked out, then what right do you have to the land? The only reason I kicked them out was that you should do something better. If you acting no better than the Canaanites, why should I leave you there? And then he talks about the Avodah Zarah and Pasuk Gimel. V'yashav Eivin et Abamot, Ashubit Chitzki Ovi, V'yakam Mitzbochot Labao, V'yasa Shira, Kasher Sachav, V'yishavu L'chot Tzvar Shemayim, V'yaved Otam, U'bana Mitzbochot B'Vit Hashem. In a nutshell, we see black and white that Menashe was doing Avodah Zarah as bad as possible. The Beit HaMikdash was basically closed down, and the Beit HaMikdash became a place of idol worship of other gods. God, and Menashe was angry with God. He did it with Chol HaHachis. In addition, we'll skip to Pasuk Yod. Menashe did worse than all the people before him, worse than the Amorites even. And therefore, Lachain, Kom Hashem, Hini Mevi Rahu Yerushalayim Asher Kol Shamat Titzam Shnei Oznav, the same Lashon like Vashiro, Venatati Yerushalayim Et Kav Shomro, that Yishkol Beit Achav, Mechite Et Yerushalayim. It goes on and on. In a nutshell, without going into whole Shir and Sefer Melachim, in Sefer Melachim, we find that the Gzar Din of Korban, that the Beit HaMikdash has to be destroyed, was given in the time of Menashe, some 70, 80 years before the Korban. And during the time of Menashe, what do we find? We find Shfichut Damin, here, Pasuk Tetzayin, the one the Gemara quotes. V'gam Dam Naki Shavach Menashe B'Mod, Ad Shor Levin Ha'i Yushan, Peh Lepeh, Levad Michatar Sheikhtit Yehuda. We saw also Toivot, which I highlighted. Toivot is usually the Arayot. We see Avodah Zarah. It's clear that what the Gemara talks about, what was the sin of Bayit Rishon? What was the first place to make this destroyed? The question is not about Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. The question is, why did the first temple, the first monarchy, right, why did that fall? During the time of Yishayahu, why did the first monarchy fall? If you remember the sine wave, we said that there was, that's when we still had all 12 tribes, and we were a superpower still. Why did that crumble and fall apart? That's because of the big three that was during Achaz and later during Yom Menashe. In the beginning, Menashe even goes into Galut. We saw how Yoshiel did tshuva and returned. And we saw, when we learned Yirmiyahu, we saw Yoshiel felt himself like the beginning of Bayit Sheni even. But the resurgence of Yoshiel and the last chance to get things better, that was the last minute try to get things moving again. But the actual Korban happened 100 years earlier when all the 12 tribes went out, when the northern tribes went into exile, when all the cities of Yehuda were destroyed, including Lachish, and Yerushalayim was saved at the last minute. For all intents and purposes, that was the Chorban. That's the time of Yishayel. So when Chazal talk about Beit Rishon being destroyed, they're not talking about 586 BCE. They're talking about 700 BCE. The time of Chizkiel and the time of Menashe, when everything, when something great fell apart. In the beginning of, in the time period of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, Yerushalayim's a little city, you know, they got their act together again. But as soon as things get better, they're repeating the same sins that happened in the time of Yishayel. Again, they're serving God, but again, they're not doing justice. They're not doing, and God says, it's not going to work again. But in order to make, the Mikdash in the time of Tzidkiel, in the time of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel work, they need much better tshuvas than just, oh, we're going to bring korbanot again. Again, it's not hardcore avodah zarah like it was in the time of Menashe. It's not mamash shvichut damim like it. We saw shvichut damim that he was talking about Yechezkel, about how they treat the poor and the needy, causing them to die. It wasn't toy boat, it's that arayot like it was as bad as before. But because they're going back in the back direction again, God's saying the gzar din of Menashe, from the time of Menashe, can't be overturned. God says they need tremendous rehab. You have to go into exile to learn your lesson. Now, if I go back to the Gemara now in on page 2, there'll be something very interesting. So we did the first part. Now, what I want to claim is that the purpose of the Gemara is not to tell you what the reason for Korban Beit Rishon was. That the Gemara knows, you can read, it's fine. The purpose of the Gemara is to tell you how bad Sinat Achim is. You understand the difference? And that's what I want to get across to Paul. When Chazal make a statement, you have to understand why they're saying what they're doing. What happens is we never learn Tanakh, and we learn a little Mamar Chazal and try to learn history from it. When Chazal make a statement, like we just read about what was better or worse, Beit Rishon or Beit Sheni, they're assuming you know the real reason for Beit Rishon, like we saw in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Okay? They're coming to make a statement about how bad Sinat Achim is. They're not coming to tell you historically why the first temple was destroyed. For that, read Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, and you read Yishayahu, etc. They're coming to tell you how bad Sinat Achim is. Okay? And then look in B, which says, "Rishayim hayu ela shetalu bitchonu b'Kadosh Baruch Hu." So there was another statement about the Chorban. They say, "Atan b'mikdash Rishon tichtiv Roshe b'shochad yishvotu v'chaneh b'mechir yoru v'neviyah b'ketzat yichamu v'ashem yishayinu limon ha'lo Hashem b'kibbeinu lo tevechinu ro'ah." He's bringing example from Yishayahu, again from the time of Yishayahu, the time of Chizkiyahu, where the people are davening, they're coming to the Beit Hamikdash, they say, God's going to help us, and therefore nothing bad will happen. Despite that, what's the sin? The leaders are the shochad yishpotu. They're judging people but taking shochad. The priests, the kohanim, or the rabbis, what are they doing? They're taking money for the psak. They're b'mechir yoru. They'll give a psak based on who gives them more money. And the nevi'im, the prophets, b'ketzav, depending on how much money people give them, they'll make the prophecies that the people want. So he's saying everyone was corrupt then, but they're still acting. Now they're doubting and saying God's going to come and save us. And that's what they're complaining about during Beit Rishon. Then he brings the question, it's see, the Gemara brings the question, how can you say Mikdash Rishon wasn't about Sinat Achim, there was Sinat Achim, he quotes the passage of Yechezkel Chafala, which we saw last week, and the Gemara answers, that's talking about the leaders. You follow? The Gemara recognizes that there's Sinat Achim in the time of Beit Rishon as well. But the whole point of that Mamar Chazal isn't to tell you the reason. The reason is you have a Nevi'im. They're coming to tell you how bad a sin Sinat Achim is. That you can have, like at the end of Beit Sheni, everyone's learning Talmud, and everyone's making the Talmud then. It's the time of the Tanaim. And everyone's davening, and everyone's learning, and everyone's worshipping God in the Beit HaMikdash. And still a Chorban happened, because the people weren't working. He said, that's just as bad, but serving God and praying to God and acting religious, but having Sinat Achim, it's just as bad as worshipping another God and doing Shvichut Damim and Arayot. And as long as you have the Gemara and Yoma there, one other thing which is cute, in D, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lezer were said, ask the question, who's worse? Which one was worse? Rishonim, Shiv Galu Avonam? The people, the first place to make this, the Nevi'im told us what their sins were. Everyone saw their sins. They sinned the Farhesia in open. And therefore we know, we know it's 70 years and they'll come back. Achronim, Bai Cheney, Shalom Galu Avonam, because their sin was in the heart. The attitude, we don't know, it was a hidden sin, lonely characteristic. Therefore, God didn't say how many years it's going to be until the return. And therefore, that can be, and therefore, the fact that we don't know how many years, it shows that it's worse. And then they ask the question, which is worse, which is better? Rabbi Yochanan says, that the little nail of the people of Beit Rishon is better than the stomachs of the people of Beit Sheni, and Amar Reish Lakish, Adraba, Achorim Medita, and maybe the people of Beit Sheni were better, even though they were under Shibud Machiot, they still were Oseg the Torah. He has to be able to, the Beit Rishon will prove to you that Beit Sheni was worse, because after Beit Rishon it came 7 years later, after Beit Sheni, it didn't come back for almost 2,000 years. Meaning, Chazal was clear in their statement that the sin of Sin HaTachim is much worse than the big three. That's the main point of the Gemara there. They're not going to tell you historically what happened. They're coming to give an insight of how bad Sin HaTachim is. Then just as long as you guys are in Galut, some of you. The Gemara continues, a story about Reish Lakish, which is really interesting. Reish Lakish was swimming, I'll translate loosely as we read through. Reish Lakish was swimming in the Jordan River. He was living in Israel, near Samaria. After Rabba Bar Chana, Rabba Bar Chana was living in Babel and came to visit Israel. Okay? So as he was getting to the Jordan River, the Reish Lakish gave a handout to help Rabba Bar Chana come cross and enter Israel. As this Israeli, Reish Lakish, his Sabra, not his Sabra, but living in Israel, sees his troop from Galus coming to Israel, some of them say, what's he say? He tells them as follows. Listen to this, how Israelis have been changed. Amalei, Elahat Taninu Lechu, God hates you people in Galut. God hates the Jews in exile. Why? Dichtiv, Im Chomai Nivnelet, Yerat Kesef, Im Deleti, Nasur Le'aluach Erez, says, Im Atitam Atzmechem Kuchoma, Velitim Kuchem Bimei Yisra. Had you made yourself like a wall, and had everyone made Aliyah in the beginning of Beit Sheni, in the time of Ezra, Im Shatam Kekesef, Beit Sheni would have been like silver, which doesn't deteriorate. Shein Rekev Shorleipo doesn't fall apart. Achshav Shalitim Kedalot, so now you only came little by little away for two at a time, like you came in by chain. You didn't come as a nation. Okay? Nimshalkam Ke'eres, you're like wood, like cedar wood, but still wood, no matter, still not like silver, and little by little it deteriorates. Shavrekav Sholegbo, and that's why Beit Sheni didn't fall. So in a nutshell, what the Gemara is saying is the reason why Beit Rishon fell is because not enough people made Aliyah when there was a chance. And that's really so much part of Yechezkel, but since it stays 40 days since the Six Day War, and we had some Aliyah back in 67, but not that much. So it's a little reminder of where we should be, but that's enough for the day. Okay, now back to Yechezkel, and we have to finish up the book. I want to spend 5 minutes on the rebuke of the nations, which I call, in the outline, part B, which is chapters 25 to 35. What's interesting is that in the middle of the book, if you look at the outline, the first part of the book talks about Am Yisrael, the rebuke of Am Yisrael, how bad they are. 24 chapters of it. Afterwards, in Perek Lamed Vav, chapter 36, we start in the book of Nachama for Am Yisrael, and then Gog and Magog and the Mikdash. For some reason, smack in the middle of the book, we talk about the other nations. Now, we had something similar in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu also talked the rebuke of the other nations, but that was an appendix at the end of the book. That's the last, like, 15 chapters. It's from chapter 46, I think, in Yirmiyahu to the end. I understand it's an appendix, but why in the middle of the book? So I want to show you, just looking at the headers, what Yechezkel says is real simple. Yechezkel has to explain what's the reason for redemption. And that's why I put the whole title of the whole unit today, is the reason for redemption. Well, we're going to find two models of redemption, and almost a machloke between Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. I think we talked about this in the very beginning. When Yirmiyahu and Perek Chavtet talked about redemption, and the 7 years being over, he says, when will redemption come? When the Jewish people call out to God, they want to return. Basically, Yirmiyahu talks about redemption because of the Jewish people finally want to return through tshuva. Yechezkel is going to describe redemption even though Am Yisrael doesn't want it or doesn't ask for it. Meaning, redemption will happen not because Am Yisrael is worthy of redemption, because they want redemption. According to Yechezkel, redemption will happen only for the sake of God's name, which is being defiled by the fact that the Jews are living in exile. And what he's going to show is God's going to be angry to different nations because of how they related to the people of Israel. The whole topic of Yechezkel will be about Chilul Hashem, about God's name being desecrated. So we're just going to bring a couple examples in the Pekim, in Perek Chafei and Chavav, in this unit. We'll read from, on page 4, from Yechezkel Perek Chafei. Vayid v'Hashem elay lemor, Ben Adam, Tim panecho b'nei Amon, v'navei alehem, face the people of Amon, tell it as follows, v'matze l'vnei Amon, shivu d'var Hashem, koma Hashem, Yan amecha echa lebigdash, kinachal, that matitel kinashama, okay? Rabbeit Hashem kiyachuba gola, lachenini, mechule. Why is, what country is that? Why is Amon, it's Jordan then. Why is Ammon, the people of Ammon, being punished? Because of their attitude of what happened in the time of the Qurban. They were so happy that the Beit HaMikdash was there. They're so happy the Jews are going to Galut that their happiness and jubilation with the destruction of Israel, because of that sin, God has to punish them. If you remember Yirmiyahu, when he punishes the other nations, it's not because of their attitude to Israel, it's because what they themselves did wrong. Each nation did something wrong, deserved to be punished. Yechezkel is focusing on a totally different angle, saying those nations have to be punished because of the way they treated, the way they viewed what was happening to Israel. Same thing with Moab. Kol Ma Hashem in Pasuk Chet. Yan Amar Moab V'Seir Hinei Kol Goyim Beit Yehuda. They were so happy. Ah, look what happened to the Jews. They wiped out of the country. They're going to Galut. Nothing's happening. They're finished. It's because of that attitude God has to save face and save His name and redeem His people. In Terech Abchet, you see something similar when he talks about Tzor. Tzor was a big empire then. Vayit Bar Hashem Elay Lamor Ben Adam and more than a Gid Tzor Kol Ma Hashem Yan Gavar Libcha B'Tomar Elani U'Moshe Elohim Yishavti B'Lev Yamin V'Ata Adam Lo'el V'Ata Adam V'Lo'el. He's saying, he was complaining about Tzor, about their gava, about their haughtiness. Now that Israel, they talk about later in the parak, you can see it later. Tzor was saying, once Yerushalayim was destroyed, now we're going to be the new center of the Middle East. And we're going to take over. And we're going to be the new place where everyone's going to come and be glorified. Therefore, God says, I have to punish Tzor for their attitude to Israel. And Perak said about Egypt. Egypt has a whole set of pakim. He's angry with Egypt for promising help and not helping. But in Perek Chavtet, Pasuk Gimel, there's a beautiful, famous line about Egypt, which tells you about the Avodah Zarah there. Zaber v'amarte kol ma Hashem, hini alecha paro melech Mitzrayim, hatanim agado harovetz v'toch yorav, asher amar li yori v'ani asitani. The God of Egyptians is the Nile River. And what's Paro think? Paro thinks that he owns the Nile. So there's a lot of Midrashim about that, that refer to that, to talk about how, like all the Makot, all the plagues in Egypt, begin with the Nile. And remember Moshe puts his hand on the river, and then, the first the Nile turns into blood, and then the blood didn't come from the river, etc. But when the Makot of Mitzrayim begin, it's all around the Nile, because the Nile is the big Egyptian god, and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, thinks he owns the Nile. Okay, anyway, we're going to say goodbye to Jay. Jay has to go give a test, and you're giving just in time for the Nechama. Okay, you missed the good part. Okay. Now, in light of that, I want to show that there's only two pakim of Nechama Yechezkel, but they're famous. In Yechezkel's Nechama, he explains that the reason why God's going to redeem His people, probably because the people of Israel deserve redemption, because they're being better. In light of the revolt of the other nations, it's because of what the nation said about us, He has to redeem us. We're going to see that now in Parak Lamed Vav. Again, what I want to show you is a little a quick view we had of Pakim Chafeda Chafetalamet Hay was simply to appreciate what happens in Perek Lamed Vav. They're pretty much introduced in the Chama. Yechezkel Perek Lamed Vav. Matan Ben Adam. Hinevea Harei Yisrael. Give a nevuah about the hills of Israel. Zemata Harei Yisrael. Shimu Dvar Hashem. If you have time, look earlier. A similar nevuah in Perek Vav was about to the hills of Israel, about how bad the people of Israel are. In the Nechama Prakim, there'll be a nevuah to the Harim about how God's going to bring produce back to the hill. Pasuk Bet. Kol Ma Hashem. Yan Amar Ha'oyev Alechem Ha'ach. Because the enemy said about you, they're destroyed. Ubamot Olam L'mor Shaita Lanu. Because the nation said about you, they're finished. They're gone. And now we can take over the land. I mean, Ammon and Moab and all the neighboring countries, when the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and Amisrael went into Galut, they're all so happy and saying, hey, now we can take over Israel. Lachin yinaveh v'amata kol amar Hashem. He goes on and on. Why is God going to come and redeem its people? Because of what the other nations said about him. And therefore, lachin, skip to Pasuk 12, lachin yinaveh ha'admat yisrael v'amata laharim v'agvot v'afikim v'agyot kol amar Hashem. Hini b'kinati v'chamati dibarti yan klimot goyim v'satem. Because you carried the insults of the nations around you, therefore I have to redeem you. Now, the next pasuk, I'm going to read it, and I want you to know, tell me if you've heard any midrashim about this one. Pasuk Chet. Atim Hari Yisrael, Antechem Titenu. God gives a nevuah now to the hills of Israel. He says, Antechem are your anafim, or the leaves of the trees. Antechem Titenu, Uferichem Tisau. Now it's your branches should give leaves, and you should give fruit. For my people of Israel, ki kavu lavo, because they're about to come. Ki ni alechem v'farit alechem v'nevaratem v'nizaratem. Right? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to look towards you. You're going to be, the land's going to be worked again, and you're going to be planted again. The Beit Yerachem Adam, and people are going to return to you. Kol Beit Yisrael, v'nashavu harim v'chadrot tibanena. The land, the cities will be built again. Anyone here be kasha about that one, ever? From based on Pasuk Chet? Just wonder whether you ever heard this, the famous one. About them harisa and pechen titenu, pechen tisaul ami Yisrael. Just wonder, it was very popular a couple years ago. Maybe a couple decades ago. Maybe that's why you guys don't remember. There's a midrash and that says that when the land of Israel begins to give fruit, it's a sign that redemption is around the corner. Meaning, if when the land of Israel begins to grow again, and when the fruits begin to grow again, when the agriculture begins to blossom, that's a sign that redemption is near. But it's one that people like in the Merkaz Rav Krab used to quote a lot. But again, it's based on Yechezkel. Okay. Then Yechezkel continues. We're in Pasuk Tet Zayin. Right, Vashem Eleinu Mor. The section we're going to see now is going to be about the reason for redemption, following the same thing that we saw before, but he's going to give a quick review of what happened at the end of Bayit Rishon and why God has to redeem his people after they go into exile. Listen carefully, I'm going to ask you a question here. I want you to help me understand something. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Vayit Vashem Eleinu Mor. Ben Adam. He's referring to what happened in the first temple. Amisa was living in the land and they defiled it. But that came about little time in their ways and their actions. God was very angry with their actions and compared their actions, their behavior to Matanida. Again, angry with them. On the people they killed on the Shrikut Amin they did. And their idol worship, etc., like we talked about before. What did I do because of their sins? I scattered them among the nations since the time of Menashe. They were all around in different lands. I judged them based on their behavior. Now, listen to Pasuk Chaf, and I'm going to ask you a question. Am Yisrael, when they went to exile, they went to the different nations. Asher Barusham. And he beside my name. When the other nations said about them, Am Hashem Eile, this is God's people, and they left his land. And I had Rachmanis on my holy name, which was defiled by Bnei Yisrael, and the nations they came to. Now, look at the beginning of Pasuk Chaf again. It says, Am Yisrael came to the different nations, wherever they came to, by Chalu Hashem Kutshi. Okay. How do you understand this? They came to Galut, and they made a Chilu Hashem, and then God got angry? That's one way. Or the very fact that they went into Galut in itself was a Chilu Hashem. Anyone want to vote on that? You understand the two possibilities? Is nothing saying Am Yisrael came to the nations, and when they came there, they made a chilu Hashem, they acted in a poor way, they cheated, they stole, they acted, you know, in a way that people said wasn't befitting of them. Or it could be they acted fine, but is it the very fact that they were in Galut that was a chilu Hashem? You understand the question? Tell me which one makes more sense. Based on what you read in Yechezkel. Is Yechezkel saying that they came to the other nations, they came in exile, and there they made a chilu Hashem? Or is it the very fact that they're in Galut in itself is a chilu Hashem? You can either say it or chat it, but take a vote on it. No one's that.
That's what we saw with the rebuke to the nations, right? That the nations say, oh, God doesn't like them anymore, and so on.
Exactly.
That's already
Chilul Hashem. Yeah. That's exactly the Tzimri consistent with that. Yeah. And that's exactly what he's saying in the second half of Pasuk Chaf. We'll read it again. How did they when the nation said about them, I'm not saying that this is God's people and they left his land, it looks like what? God can't take care of his people? The very existence of the Jewish people outside their land make a book bet. Because when they say, hey, these are Jewish people, the Jewish people have a land. How come they're not living there? The guy can't take care of them? Don't they have this powerful God, the great God? If this is God's people, why can't Disney take care of them? So Yechezkel is saying the very existence, the very placement of God's people outside the land, in itself is a Chilul Hashem. And therefore, Pasuk Chafalef, Rachmal Shem Kodshi, I Rachmal on my holy name, Asher Chilul Beit Yisrael Bagoyim, which Ben Yisrael defiled in those nations, in the nations that they came into. Now look at the continuation, Pasuk Chabet. Lechen Komar Hashem, Lechen Emor Levet Yisrael, therefore Tabin Yisrael, Komar Hashem, Lo Lemanchem Ani Yosef Beit Yisrael, Ki Nashem Kodshi Asher Chilal Tem Bagoyim, Asher Batem Sham. I'm going to bring you back to your land, but not because you deserve it. I'm going to bring you back, Lo Lemanchem, not for your sake, not for the sake of what you've been doing, not because you're so great. Ela what? Only Ki'im Etshem Kodshi Asher Chilal Tem, only for the sake of my name that's been, if you remember in last week's share, Perach Chas had the exact same thing. Where God said to Yechezkel, the only reason I took you out of Egypt and brought you Israel in the first place was because of the sake of my name. Then Pasuk Gimel, V'kidashi Shmei HaGadol, HaMechulah Bogoyim, I'll make my name great again, the one that was defiled by the nations, Asher Chilaltem B'tocham, Shodu Koyim Ki Ani Hashem Nehum Hashem, V'kadshi Bechem Neinehem. In order to save my grace, my pride, my name, my reputation, I'll have to redeem you even though you don't deserve it. Okay. Now, if that's the case, what needs to happen when they come? First, I'll bring you back, and then after you come back, I'll come and make you better. Then, remember these psukim, we have them in Sichot, and Moshe Yom Kippur time, in the psukim before Shema Kolenu, definitely before on Yom Kippur we talk about this. What's God say? First I'll bring you back to my land, I'll gather you from the land, and then I'll throw on you, Naim Torim, Utatem, Mikotim Utechem. First I'll bring you back to your land, and then I'll make you so-called religious again. And that model of redemption is very famous in Rav Kook's work, where he said that the fact that the Jewish people return to the land before they do tshuva, and only once they're in the land, then they begin to do tshuva. That model, which happened in our own time, over the last 100 years, Rav Kook, in all of his works, makes a big deal about that. And says the very fact that Am Yisrael returns to the land before doing tshuva shouldn't surprise us. It's a model of Yechezkel. And now, if we follow Yechezkel, the next step is going to be to get the people to do proper tshuva. And then in Pasuk Lamed Bet, Yechezkel summarizes again, Lo lemanchem ani oseh nehum Hashem, yivadah lechem boshu v'kamu b'darchechem Beit Yisrael. I'm bringing you back not for your sake, but for the sake of my name, and you should be ashamed from your ways that this has to be. Now, Yechezkel isn't saying that Yirmiyahu's prediction won't happen either. Yechezkel is saying that no matter how bad you are, God will have to bring you back. Ideally, you should come back the way Yirmiyahu is talking about. But if you don't do that, ultimately God will bring you back for the sake of his name. So that was that's the Nechama of Yechezkel. And then Perek Lamed Zayin is a famous dry bone. You've heard of the Konigsberg dry bone? I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's a famous one, like 30, 40 years in Israel. This little comic strip in the Jerusalem Post called Dry Bones. It's based on Yechezkel Lamed Zayin, which is Haftara on Sukkot. I think Chalamoit Sukkot, I think. But I wanted to talk about a minute what Yechezkel is talking about in Perek Lamed Zayin. Hatzela Yad Hashem V'yosini Baruch Hashem V'yanechini B'toch HaBika V'im Le'at Tamot. So it's the same Bika that Yechezkel was in the first Perek when he first sees God. He sees the Bika that's full of bones, dry bones. V'im Hashem Elai Ben Adam Hatichem Le'at Tamot Eile. V'im Hashem V'yom V'amar Avim Atay Adata. God asks Yechezkel the question, can these dry bones come back to life? And Yechezkel says, you know, you're God. V'im Elai Hinaveh Le'at Tamot. God tells Yechezkel, prophesies about these bones. And said, "Atzmot Eveshot Shimud Varshem, Komar Hashem, Atzmot Eile Yini Ani Meviat Chem Bruach VeYichitem, Chem Gidim." Basically, God says, "I'm going to put spirit in you, and I'm going to put basar on you, and these dry bones are going to come back to life." Now, that's the mashal. And the nimshal in Pasuk Aleph, he says as follows: "Ve'emrei Lai Ben Adam, Atzmot Eile Kol Beit Yisrael Hema, Yini Omrim Yafshu Atzmotenu Vavdati Kvatenu, Nigzanu Lanu." What's the analogy of these dry bones? Yechezkel says as follows. The people Before we talk about redemption, that God will bring his people back no matter how bad we are. The people, after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, Yechezkel has a new job. Not just explain to him what went wrong, but that they shouldn't give up hope. Yechezkel can't do too good a job, because then people feel so bad about themselves, say, we're finished, it's over. Yechezkel has to make sure that people know that even though they're in exile, it's not over. Like we see in Parshat Nitzavim. That ultimately God will bring you back. Now, the people are saying in Galut, they're saying they're like dry bones. Just like a person, once a person's dead, that's it. He's buried, he doesn't come back to life. That's what we see in Olam Hazeh. He says, just like in an individual's life, right? Once the person dies, all you have left is a skeleton and a bone, and once it's dead, it won't come back to life. The people see exile, it's death. And once Am Yisrael is in exile in Galut, what's going to happen? Okay? Just like a person dies and that's it. The same thing, the nation died and that's it. And the people were saying again, right? Our bones are dry, we have no hope, the gzera is done, the edict is done, and there's no hope for the Jewish people anymore, we'll never come back to our land. Therefore, Pasuk Yud Bet, Lachen Yinaveh, V'amata Lehem Kol Ma Hashem, Hine Ani Potech Kivotechem, V'aleiti Etchem Kivotechem Ami, V'aveiti Etchem Ba'azamat Yisrael. Don't understand it that way. There'll be Tchiyat HaMitim here on the national level, meaning I'm going to bring you up from your national grave, from your dry bones, and I'm going to bring you back to life. V'idatem, Keni Hashem V'pitchei Kivotechem, V'aleiti Etchem Kivotechem Ami, V'atati Ruchi V'chitem,
what will I do? God will give spirit, give ruach back in the people and bring the people back to life. Something that now we can appreciate this symbol much better after a couple thousand years of Galut and we see it happening. But in order for a nation to come back to life, there needs to be what's called ruach. We saw this week's parsha Balotcha, ruach as opposed to basar, where ruach is the leadership of Am Yisrael, and ruach can bring something good, it can bring the vuah from the Omoid into the camp, like what happens with Moshe and the elders. But the same ruach can bring the Slav outside the camp and cause people to sin and to die, etc. So ruach is something with tremendous potential, that ruach has to be used for something good with nevuah and can inspire people to grow and act properly as God's nation. Okay. The last nevuah that Yechezkel has afterwards is in Pasuk Tetzav, another after from Pasuk Vayigash, Vayidvar Hashem Adai Lemor, in a nutshell, he has one last analogy of the redemption, where he says, take one piece of wood, of one branch, and another branch, call one Ephraim, the other one Yehuda, put them together, make them one, and basically he says, here's the model for redemption, when you come back, afterwards, after by when you come back for the redemption, you won't be Ephraim and Yehuda anymore. It won't be a split nation anymore. It'll be one nation. Skip to Pasuk Chafalas. V'daver lem kol ma'ashem. Hine ani lokech et b'nei Yisrael mibin ha'goyim asher olchu sham. V'kibatzi etchem mitzadiv v'veiti etchem al admatam. V'atit etchem l'goy achad ba'aret v'arei Yisrael u'melech achad yalu kolam. When I bring you back next time, you have to be united. This isn't really so much a prophecy, but it's more of a guide. God's saying, next time you come back, don't break into two groups again. Don't break into Yehuda and Ephraim. Get yourself together, get yourself one leader, be united, and that'll be the key to ideal redemption. So, that's the famous nevuah, which we read on Parshat Vayigash for Yehuda, and you'll stay for fighting over Binyamin. He says, when we come back in an ideal redemption, Yosef and Yehuda and Yosef will work together again, and we'll have one king over both mamlechot. Okay, to conclude, last 2 minutes, we'll read all 8 prakim of the last 9 prakim. You might be familiar with the last 9 prakim of Yechezkel. We talked about the Mikdash in tremendous detail. Every Mikdash, like amazing detail of what the next Mikdash will look like. But I simply want to so thematically have connected to the beginning of the book. Yechezkel Perek Mem in the beginning, Besivach Chamish Shana LeGalutenu. It's way after the Korban, 25 years after the Galut. That's like 14 years after the Korban. Rosh Hashanah Besol HaChodesh. This is Yom Kippur. 14 years since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Betzem Yom Hazeh Ayan Alav Yavoy Tiyashama. Pasuk Vet. B'Marot Elohim Havyan Al Eretz Yisrael in a vision again, Yechezkel has a vision, God brings him to the land of Israel. Again, he has another vision where God takes him to Israel and he sees standing on a big mountain. Go tell the people what you're seeing. God takes them on this vision so he can tell the people. What does he see? He sees a 3-chapter-long description of the temple being rebuilt. Now, at the end of that description, in Perek Mem Gimel, which we're going to pick up in, we're going to see how the book has certain closure to the beginning. Pasuk Aleph, in Perek Mem Gimel. God takes him in his vision to the gate of the Mikdash, which points to the east. After he sees the Mikdash being built, he sees God's glory coming from the east into the Mikdash. And big, great noise and everything enlightened by God's glory. Pasuk Gimel. What is Yechezkel end with? The same vision that he saw in the beginning of the book. Remember the beginning? He saw God's kavod, God's shechina, leaving the Mikdash Yerushalayim and landing in Babel, telling the people it's over in Yerushalayim and the future of the Jewish people is in Babel in the meantime. Yechezkel ends his book with the same vision that he saw in the beginning, the same vision of God that he saw in the beginning, landing in Babel, that same vision now you see returning to the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. And obviously the reason is simple. What message is he bringing? That even though they're in Galut, and even though God left his people and left his land, and now he's with his people in Babel, ultimately God will return to his Mikdash in Yerushalayim. And Pasuk Galut, Chvod Hashem Ba, El Abayit Derech Shar Asher Panav Derech Kedim, God enters in the house from the east, and by Tesein Ruach, Vatavina Lachatir HaPanimi, Vinei Malei Chvod Hashem Ba Abayit. And here God's voice coming. We'll end with Pasuk Zayin. Zumei Lai Ben Adam. Et Mokom Kisi Et Mokom Kapot Raglai. When he returns to the Beit HaMikdash now, when they return from exile, Asher Ashkon Sham B'Toch B'nei Yisrael, the Olam, Lo Yitamu Or Beit Yisrael Shem Kodshi Hemo Machem B'Znutam B'Fikri Machem B'Motam. When you come back this time, you won't defile my name like you did last time. B'Yitam Stipam Et Stipim Muzutam Et Muzutati V'Akir B'Ni B'Nehem. V'Yitimot Shem Kodshi B'Avotam Asher Asur B'Chal Atam B'Api. V'Atay Rechokwet B'Znutam B'Fikri Machem B'Meni V'Shachanti B'Toch Yisrael. Basically, what's he telling them? Next time when you come back and Bayit Sheni, okay, no more building a Mikdash next door to the temple. If you remember Bayit Rishon, if you remember Shlomo and David, when they build the temple in Bayit Rishon, the Beit HaMikdash is standing in the same architectural complex with that king's house. The king's palace is built right next door to the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is on top of Har Bayit, where the Golden Dome is, and the king's house is pretty much a little bit to the south, where the Silver Dome is, where they say remember there's two mosques in Har Bayit. The Silver Dome, the lower one, is where the King's House was. The Golden Dome is where the Beit HaMikdash was, a little bit higher up. But on the other hand, they were, one was higher than the other, God's House was higher, but they were next door neighbors. God says, when you come back and Bayit Sheni, no more kings living next door to the Beit HaMikdash. That was too close for comfort. He says, when you come back next time, the king has to keep his distance. This Tavur Yechezkel was taken so seriously that in Bayit Sheni, the kingdom never even developed. And when they finally had a partial kingdom during the Hasmonean time, the king's palace was rebuilt in the upper city, where the Jewish quarter is today. But it's nothing like it was in Bayit Rishon. During Bayit Sheni, the whole idea of kingdom takes it very much a back seat. And they're very careful in Bayit Sheni not to let the king have too much power, to the point that there's almost no kingdom at all. And instead, the Kohen Gadol ends up becoming acting like king, and we know that from the time of the Chashmonaim. And then at the end of in Pasuk Yud, V'atah ben adam hagedet beit Yisrael tabayit, v'kamu me'avonotem, u'mabadu et ha'tochnit. Yechezkel goes in tremendous detail again about what's going to be when they return, but the reason for all those tiny details about the Mikdash that's going to be rebuilt is they should learn about it, and by learning about it, they'll feel bad about their sins, and they'll have remorse and do proper tshuva. So all the details in the last 8 parakim of Yechezkel about the Mikdash aren't necessarily an architectural plan that we have to build step by step and back according to that model, but Yechezkel is giving them a vision of the Mikdash with tremendous detail, but by studying that detail of the Mikdash, Bnei Yisrael will learn the lesson, have remorse, and realize what they've done wrong. So in many ways, nowadays, again, 40 years after we took over Har Habayit, there's the anniversary, at least in the non-Jewish state of the Loazi date of the Six-Day War. But we don't have a Mikdash today, but by learning about the Mikdash, or learning about why it was destroyed, and learning what needs to be done to build it back up again, and knowing how to thank God for what God did for us, on the other hand, knowing all the work we need to do to be deserving of the Mikdash again, so there's a lot of things we can learn from Yechezkel. We only had 5 shiurim, and we went very fast through the book, but hopefully you had a little idea in the shiur we did, and give you an overview of what the book is about, have built up, and hopefully you can learn on your own now. You have a good understanding of the different parts of the book, how it's built, the historical setting, and the different messages you can learn from it. I'll take questions now if you have any questions. If not, we can make a little fume. Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening, and hopefully next time we have a class, we'll have it won't be a prediction about the Mikdash, but Yerushalayim will be rebuilt a little bit better than it is today. And I want to wish everyone a nice summer, and hopefully we'll break this stuff up in written form on the website. Over the summer, we're going to get the Navi series moving again online. Okay, good night.